When we look back on Ocasio's campaign, the media here in New York was almost entirely ignoring her candidacy. She had got only very sporadic coverage, and most of the coverage she had gotten had been from outlets outside of New York, like The Intercept or The Young Turks. But here in New York, her campaign was almost completely invisible. And so when we started to cover her campaign in the last couple of months before the primary, she was really operating in a media void. We ended up being in a situation where we had this what turned out obviously to be a huge story on our hands, and we were able to run with it. And the rest is history, as they say. You went out with her on a Sunday afternoon in like mid-May, followed her around as she door knocked in Jackson Heights. I mean, what were some of your impressions and some of the highlights of being out on the ground with her as she campaigned?
I think first off, to your point that there was sporadic media coverage, I just have this memory of sitting on the bus going to Jackson Heights and like searching for anything that I could listen to on my way. And there was like some random podcast in Ireland that had covered her. There was a little Young Turks, but there really wasn't anything substantive. So when I got there, I wasn't expecting much, and it kind of delivered on my expectations. There was a small cart with like a tablecloth on top of it, some flyers, and like a couple volunteers, and she wasn't there yet, and it was rainy, and it was just a farmer's market. Your kind of regular, like small campaign feel.
On the afternoon that you spent with her, was that you got to witness was her confrontation with the Crowley campaign at their headquarters. She had been trying for, months to try to pressure the Crowley campaign to agree to debate her, and of course they were blowing her off.
The campaigners, as they were door knocking, and we were basically done and looking for a place to sit down and eat. And we turned the corner, and there's Joe Crowley's office. And I don't think anybody knew that that's where it was or had ever seen it before. And we're like, oh, there it is. And
The
they were kind of like, should we take a picture in front of it? Like,
mothership.
should we, like, should we pose? Like, what should we do? Some people in the group like decided to ask the bakery next door if they could put an Ocasio sign there. And it was all kind of like in good fun. And then Alexandria was like, should I just go in there and ask for a debate? And it was kind of a tentative like question, and she looked a little nervous, and everyone was kind of like, yeah, do it, and I was like, all right, let's do it. And so she was like, all right, I'm doing this. And so she just walked right in. And there were some people in the front, and it's a very like standard looking campaign office. Some people in the front, and she was like, hi, I'm Alexandria. And they were like, we know who you are. They knew who she was, and they weren't particularly happy to see her. And so they they went and got the campaign manager, and she said, I would like to, I'm just here asking if I can have a debate with Congressman Crowley. And he said, is this your campaign officially asking? She's like, yeah, it's me. It's me officially asking. It was a very funny interaction. I think the thing I took away from that was that they just weren't really expecting to see her, and they weren't really expecting that challenge, and it was kind of hard for them to say no to her face to face. And it was a very interesting moment. And she walked out, and she kind of looked like exhilarated with what she had just done.
So I had some of the same impressions of like, okay, this is a very youthful campaign, but there's like an underlying strategic approach going on here, and I had a chance to interview her for about 20 minutes, and the first thing I wanted to ask her about was this incident out at Crowley's office, because what I wanted to find out more was what she had been thinking at the time, and I asked her to lead me through that experience and how she was thinking it and experiencing it. And what came across to me was that there was kind of a breakthrough moment for her. She'd been campaigning for months, but Crowley was sort of this abstract thing. But to actually kind of crash through that fourth wall, so to speak, and go right into his office and confront his campaign manager. And I think one thing she described to me was like when she was there in the office confronting these people, she put it, I saw the fear in their eyes, and I didn't expect to see that.
And it seems like he just didn't see that coming. He didn't realize like how strong that campaign actually was because of how it came across to him and to me also when I went there the first day. It just came across as very amateur, and I think that was maybe his downfall, is that he didn't see it. And he didn't care about the media coverage. When I called to speak to Crowley because I wanted his comment for this story, you know, his press person was like, well, you can talk to me, but the congressman is not available. And they obviously just didn't, this wasn't something that was a priority to talk to reporters about this. But like you were saying earlier, the numbers were really low. And so something like having her picture on the cover of a local paper like the Indy and distributing that all over her district, that can make a difference in how low these numbers are in the name recognition, you know, somebody who doesn't have name recognition like Crowley.
We moved 45,000 papers, and we probably moved around 15,000 just out in Queens. So yeah, it was an exciting moment. And if she had lost, it would have still been a very worthwhile story to have covered. And that's the thing, sometimes if you want to have that big story, you sometimes have to, you know, take the chance of falling on your face. If she had lost, especially if she'd lost by double digits, I'm sure a lot of people would have been like, well, what were you guys thinking? Why did you put her on the cover? But I felt like if we're gonna, you know, end up with some egg on our face, let's do it putting this, you know, visionary young woman of color, let's elevate her voice, elevate this campaign, give it the respect it deserves, and put it in front of the city.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, this is, for the Indy, this was about covering something that no one else had the guts to cover at that time, I think. And now, of course, everyone's looking back and going, oh, we should have covered that, you know, and like, where was the media? Uh-huh. But this happens all the time. You know, there are important stories that get missed like this. Because it takes a lot of courage to cover something like this. And looking back, of course, now it's very obvious. But at that time, it was a really important thing for us to do, and I'm really glad we did it. And it was something fun to cover, something exhilarating. But also, I think something that's going to keep happening now that we're seeing this trend, not just here in New York, mm-hmm. but all over the country with this last election, we've seen this kind of wave. I think it's going to become even more important to cover these types of races and to dig into the power dynamics and more importantly, to look at what's happening in those communities where these races are happening.